Cadencopia acknowledges the traditional owners of the land that this podcast was recorded and produced on, the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung peoples of the East Kulin Nations. We pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Come behind the scenes of the Australian media landscape from a leading public relations perspective. I'm Marissa Jane, and this is the Press Office with Kate Copia. Today's guest is the lovely Nat from Season Social, a boutique marketing agency based in Melbourne that has worked with the likes of Age Athletica, Novo, and Tony Bianco. Season Social prides themselves on knowing how to go viral on social media, which is a skill that I think we all want to learn and is why we're listening today. And that is exactly what we will be diving into in today's episode. So firstly, welcome, Nat.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So when it comes to social media marketing, what do you classify as going viral?
That's a really good question. I actually had to have a think about this. And I think there's kind of two types of viral when we're talking about brands. The first one is viral content, and then you've got viral brands or products. So they're kind of like the two streams that I would think of. Viral content, I guess it depends what your aim is. Like, you've got your millions of views, which is obviously super viral. But if it's not your goal to reach kind of global and you want consistent targeted virality, I would say even the hundreds of thousands, getting that consistently is a really good level of virality for a brand's content.
So you touch on that there's the two different types of going viral.
Yep.
And that's funny. I never really thought about that. But when you speak about a product going viral, immediately I think about like a Frank Green bottle, for example. A water bottle is now one of the most like coolest items that you can have.
Literally. Or Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Well, Stanley Cup is taking over, literally, which is surprising.
Yes.
And
yeah.
How would a brand achieve something like that?
Yeah. So that's probably a really, really big question. But even to like start it off and say like, what is it? I guess you'll probably notice, particularly on TikTok now, that we do get the viral brands and the viral products. And how I classify that differently to viral content is when we're looking at viral brands and products, it's how many people are talking about that thing or that brand online at like a given time. And I think this is maybe something that brands aren't thinking about. Not all brands, some are, and we can talk about examples of that, but it should be part of the strategy as well, is that you actually want to go viral across the platform, not just through your own content as well. And that can be easier to achieve for a brand. So it's a good one to look at.
That's really interesting. And is that where user-generated content, because I know that's a big marketing jargon word that gets thrown around a lot. Is that where that comes into play?
I mean, UGC is just really the most broad term for like somebody who's not the brand creating content.
Yep.
Brand or product virality can come down to so many different things. So Country Road, I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff that's going around. It's part of their 50-year anniversary that has gone viral on social media. And some of the things that you can see that are evidence of this is lots and lots of people are talking about it from different angles. So we've got, you know, your fashion girlies, like we have our style TikTok, we went and did a try on. You've got other girls who are trying it on, buying it, reviewing it, that sort of thing. And then you've also got other people who are kind of like in the industry talking about it. So we had stylists or people who are more in fashion media sort of going, who has styled this campaign? Like, they've done an amazing job. Who selected the models? Like, doing sort of TikTok, you know, green screen style reporting on what's going on. Then you've got marketers who are like, oh my God, like they've nailed it. Like, this is so on trend with what we're seeing online right now and with fashion weeks. Like, they've nailed the kind of collection to tap into the culture right now, or whatever their kind of point is or their angle is. And that's a really good example of like brand virality that we're seeing right now in Australia.
And when you're working with your clients, is that what you're aiming for, or is it also going viral in your content as well? Do they both play a part in the strategy?
Yeah. So when we do social media strategies, it's definitely something I'm thinking about. And we talk a lot about some formulas that other brands use to do this. So when you're doing social media strategy, it can be tricky because there's so, like, it's not just social media. Mm. It's PR. It's all the other things that go into it. It's all your pieces of marketing kind of have to, like, work together to make this happen kind of thing. So when we do social media strategies, obviously we create their content strategy for what they're going to do, but we also spend a lot of time more coaching around, like, okay, but this is how it actually works. Like, this is what, you know, a brand like Skims does to make sure that every time they launch, it goes viral.
Mm.
We look at the PR, we look at the way they work with influencers, we look at, you know, the timeline of events for launching their products and what they do and in what order and how it all kind of comes together to go boom at the same time. So it's not something we necessarily like put into that strategy because at that time we're generally starting earlier, but it's something we would look at in phase two where it's like, great, now we've figured out your content strategy, you're ready to like launch something new, let's look at a campaign that we would put together that's going to have all of these parts that's potentially going to help you get that product virality or collection or brand virality that you're looking for.
That's really interesting, that business model, because I think so often in the marketing and comms industry, you get a brief once the product's final, once everything's done, and it's like, here, this is what you have to work with, get it out. And mm-hmm. where some of our input would be best placed is actually in that ideation
Absolutely.
Phase.
Absolutely. Yeah. It should all be kind of part of the strategy to begin with. How do you want this to go out? How do you want it to be spoken about? I'll go back to the Skims example. One thing that Kim understands is how like really simple messages travel fast. So I call it the one product, one message. Before they even send it to anyone, before they do anything, they have a very clear idea of what they want their products to mean to someone. And they want everyone to understand this message. So by the time they're sending it out to influencers and press, there's this one product, one message. So we had the Skims dress makes your butt look great. We didn't hear about fabrics. We didn't hear about where you can wear it. We didn't hear about any of that stuff. It was just one product, one message. And every single person who spoke about it, every media outlet who spoke about it was speaking about the same message. And that's why it like travels so quickly.
That's a really good point. And I think it showcases how much like social media, marketing, and PR also need to be talking and singing the same song.
Absolutely. They're all kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it's all they media. Are very interconnected. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So say if someone was listening to this podcast and they've started a new business or they're about to launch a new business, where should they be starting when it comes to their social media strategy? And I know that is a very broad question and there would be so many things that would determine that.
Yeah. I think it's a good question though, and I do think there are some key things that you do need to think about that maybe don't get thought about. To compare it, what we often see is, you know, a social media manager or a founder will look at what everyone else is doing as their first point of call. But my suggestion is you go right back to marketing foundations. Like, this is going to be your biggest channel. If you're an e-commerce brand, this is going to be your biggest channel for marketing. So you really want to make sure that it like actually has marketing principles included in it. So we're talking like marketing funnels and understanding like what the buyer's journey is and all of that kind of stuff. And then how it's going to play together with all of your other channels, like we spoke about, things like PR and even your emails and your paid ads and all of that kind of stuff. We want to be thinking about the whole ecosystem of your marketing within that before we even look at like what kind of content you're going to create. So you want to have really strong brand strategy. You want to understand what a marketing funnel is, like how people consume content in order to answer questions and get the information they need to make purchases, what drives a purchase, what makes someone want to purchase in the first place. Starting with that understanding, then moving into your audience, I think one thing we tend to see, especially with really small businesses, maybe people who haven't had a business before, haven't done marketing before, is they want to cater to too many people at once.
Yeah.
And the thing that they don't understand is that the more people you add, the more resources you need to market it effectively. And, you know, you can't look at a brand like H&M or a Zara or something like that and say they cater to everyone. Yeah, but they've got hundreds of millions of dollars to like do all of that marketing effectively. So the analogy that a mentor sort of said to me once that stuck with me forever was this idea of poking a hole through a piece of paper is a lot easier than like trying to punch a hole through it. When you're starting out, having a very clear understanding of like a very, very, very small audience that you want to serve and just everything you do content-wise being based around that person and their problems, their needs, what are they looking for, what are they watching, what do they love, what do they think's funny, what are their values, will get you a lot further in those initial stages or overall to actually like gain momentum with your strategy and with your content. If you're trying to do too many things, it generally will fall flat. So audience is that kind of really, really big piece that everything plays around, including the things that we spoke about before, like brand strategy and stuff like that. And then from there, we really, actually the first thing that I would do is look at creators. I don't look at other brands first.
Wow, I was going to ask if you do competitor analysis.
Definitely, absolutely. But I don't take them as the pinnacle of inspiration because I don't think they're the best at that thing. Do you know what I mean? If we're talking about social media and we're talking about leading from an audience's perspective and what they would want, I would always go to the creators who are killing it in that space first and work backwards into like, okay, and now what do we see brands doing in this space and who's doing it well? But I don't want to see people copying because we see it too much. I'll give you an example. Black Friday, I was nearly about to pull my hair out. If I saw one more brand do a printed flyer thing that they stuck on a wall to advertise their Black Friday deal, I was going to lose it. I don't understand how everyone gets the same template and does the exact same thing. It's really like dangerous to start watching too many competitors because I think you become too similar and it actually damages like your brand ultimately. It kind of puts you as a follower, not a leader.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I would assume you would go to brands, but then you look at how TikTok is really thriving at the moment compared to Instagram, and that's a space that I feel like brands haven't taken over yet in a really intense way, which is great, whereas now everything on Instagram is quite branded. I see brands come up first or that's where that is, whereas TikTok, it is user first.
100%. And I think they're very aware of like what's – like they've used Instagram as their learning curve of like, okay, people got really sick of that. Like we don't want to make this too brand heavy or we're going to lose people and open ourselves up to competition. But, yeah, we're talking about social media. People don't go there to look at ads. So we have to think from a user – an audience perspective, like what do they want? What do they actually want to see around this product and in this category and in this kind of like theme of information and stuff like that? And then we build a marketing funnel around it and then we place product inside it.
And with most of your clients, would you say their aim, are they coming to you going, help, I want to go viral? Or is it more overarching they want to work on their brand on social media?
Yeah. So I definitely work a lot with small brands, like brand new businesses or smaller brands like single founder. With them, I guess it's more just getting things off the ground and getting a really solid understanding of what to do. When we're working with some of the bigger brands on strategy, it is more about like, okay, we're not getting the results that we want from this. Maybe we don't. Like we don't really understand what to do that will differentiate us but make us appealing. We're kind of doing what we did 3 years ago and it's not really working, that kind of thing. So without saying, I guess that's kind of the goal is like we want to become more relevant. We want our content to be more engaging while still meeting the goals of the business, which is totally possible.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I do find sometimes that if – a strategy is implemented on social media, it works really well for a limited amount of time. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the engagement starts dropping, the views start dropping. It's not working like it used to. What should a brand do when they hit that?
Yeah. So I guess that comes from probably two things. Like one is the platform side, like things change on the platform, they change algorithms or they add new features or the goals of that platform change. So you will notice when Instagram wants you to do something new, they'll rearrange everything so that that's the first thing you do. A lot of the times we see brands not adapting to those changes and not understanding what the primary features are that people are using. If you're not keeping up with the technological changes or the platform changes and adapting the strategy to that, then it's going to eventually slow down with engagement and become redundant. And the other side of it is that consumers change, like what they want to see changes and morphs over time. We went from your Mad Men days where it was like printed ads and now we're at like it's entertainment. And within that, we see things that we like or we think will meet some kind of need, and that's where we buy. That's why you get like TikTok viral products, is they're wrapped up in entertainment. They become like, you know, crazed items kind of thing. And it's like people just want to be part of that thing as opposed to buying something because they desperately actually need it. That's what we're looking at on the social media landscape now. So keeping up with understanding what consumers are even doing on those platforms, again, comes back to your audience. Understanding them, watching them, talking to them, knowing what they're actually doing and looking for and engaging with, and then adapting with that. It should just be a constant ongoing, like, okay, we've noticed that, like, you know, Reels is the thing now. So let's just dabble. Let's like start trying some things out and finding our feet in that space, as opposed to putting it off for 3 years and then being like, oh God, we have no idea what to do here.
You've kind of talked about how important it is to stay in your own lane. But with TikTok, there comes a lot of trends and trending sounds and trending dances or whatever content.
Yep.
How much does that play into your strategy too? How much do you want the brands you're working with to be on their toes and going, okay, yep, this is a trend we should be doing?
Yep.
And vice versa, how much should they be creating their own content?
Yeah, it's such a good question. It's probably one of the most common ones. So the reason we actually started our style TikTok to begin with was to experiment with these things, because I want to see the data as opposed to just making a guess. Mm. I want to know what works best. What we know about TikTok is that it's a search engine. It's more like a YouTube than it is like an Instagram. Instagram, you can search for something and like the most random pile of things come up. TikTok, you search for something, you get a really strong result based on what you're looking for. The same with YouTube. So we know that. Therefore, content has to be SEO optimized. It has to be based on what people are searching for. It has to understand that algorithm in order for a brand or a creator or anyone to consistently do well on it. But we also know that it's a trend-based platform and that the algorithm is prioritizing audio trends that are used. The way that I think about it is I actually don't care too much for the content of a trend. It's not about the concept. We just know that if we use the audio, we will get a little bit further reach, but still within that, we need to pack our SEO content. Mm-hmm. So SEO and like keywords and understanding your audience again and what they're actually looking for and consuming and the problems they're trying to solve and all of that stuff is the core strategy. And then we kind of like place those things inside trends. So I've done experiments where we do SEO solely, we do trend solely, no real SEO element, no real point to it. And then we do SEO times trend. Yeah. And they do amazingly. So you've kind of got three things that you can do. They're all worth something, but it's understanding like how they fit into the overall strategy and what you're trying to achieve with that piece of content.
That is so interesting. And I really want to touch on one of your recent campaigns, because I think it really touches on A, how to think outside the box, especially when it comes to social media, but also not just thinking about social media when creating a social first campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about Lady Powers.
Yeah.
And what you did at Melbourne Fashion Festival. Can you please share?
Yeah. So Lady Powers, which is run by Mia, this is her kind of first foray into having like a label. She is a great designer and she's like got a great vision for what she wants things to look like and kind of who it's for and that kind of thing. And when she came to me, I was like, this doesn't feel like a normal consumer brand to me. This feels like it fits more in the kind of niche fashion space, like people who really love fashion for like art, expression. It has like a value to them. So I wanted to make sure that what we were doing with her strategy overall and her launch strategy in particular reflected that and kind of like placed her into that space. So what we did was we did a whole strategy, like we did like a full strategy, but then we also worked on a launch campaign. And one of the things that we came up with was to do like, I guess like a little mini PR stunt at Melbourne Fashion Festival, where we got a bunch of girls, we got them styled in kind of monochrome outfits, and then they had the big Lady Powers tote bags around their neck in kind of that, like, you know how like on runways they wear stuff, yep, in big ways. Like they're not carrying the bags, they're like wearing them on their heads or something. And then we created like a runway out the front. So not inside the venue, but like out the front of the venue while people were arriving. And we did like photos and content and stuff around this. But really what we wanted to do was, with the content that was going to go onto social, was to position this brand as like, this is where they belong. They're a fashion label. They're not just like a basic consumer brand. And we also wanted people inside the venue to see what was happening, which they did. We have gone to a few fashion weeks since and have definitely had people come up and go, oh, I like saw you guys do that. And, you know, they've been following us and Lady Powers ever since. And that like worked amazingly because it kind of just set them apart. It made like the people who only want to wear brands because it means something gravitate towards Lady Powers. So, you know, one of Mia's superpowers is that she's a really good, not networker, like building relationships with people. And from there, she was able to do collaborations with like a touring manager who was taking like Young Franco and a couple of other like Benny on tour, get them to wear like sunglasses and stuff like that. And like we built like a little bit of a brand credibility for them in a space that they would like. It made it a lot easier to do stuff like that. If you come across as like, oh, it's just like a basic girly brand that's, you know, fast fashion vibes, they wouldn't have done that. So it was about the brand for that strategy. And yeah, it kind of worked quite well.
And you also took the brand to the audience, right? You've taken it to a venue which is just full of fashion enthusiasts.
Yeah. Like we also had people taking the tote bags in who were attending as well. So she'd sort of, you know, part of the strategy is like when we do strategy for small businesses, they then execute. So part of it was like we want to collaborate with people in this space. So she had organized for people who were going to be attending that had cool style to like wear the bags with the idea that they would potentially feature in the media, which it did. It was in Harper's Bazaar for that round. And then on the following Australian Fashion Week, like quite a few got photographed because I had them. We knew some like other models and stuff like that who then wore it and were in all the magazines and all over their kind of talent management socials and other socials that were covering it. So there was kind of two prongs to that PR element that was social media based.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's a really, really cool campaign.
Thank you.
Before we finish off with the quick fire questions, I wanted to ask, do you have any quick do's or don'ts when it comes to social media?
Yeah, well, I think we touched on the don't, which is just like don't copy everyone else. That's probably my big one. All it does is set you up as a follower. You're going to have to spend more and do more to get the same result. Whereas like we did with Lady Powers, if you set yourself apart from the get-go, you don't have to work as hard on the back end to create more results down the line. And it has more sustainability as a brand. So I guess on the flip side of that, don't, the do is come up with unique strategies. Focus on your audience specifically first and understanding what they would want from you and then create concepts around that that are actually designed for them. And that's what will get the most engagement and the most like love from your audience.
I love that. Well, I've got five quick fire questions left for you. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. What is your go-to news source?
Pedestrian TV.
Must have item in your bag.
This is so gross, but I'm going to have to be honest about this. I currently have like bad hay fever, so it's literally my nasal spray.
A heel or sneaker?
Sneaker. I'm wearing cons right now.
Instagram or TikTok?
TikTok.
And what is your favorite thing to do outside of work?
Honestly, I still create video content all the time. It's still probably my thing that I do all the time.
Well, thank you, Nat, so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time and I feel like brands listening along will have so much to learn.
Thank you. It was amazing.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to The Press Office with Kate Coe PR. If you learnt something new today, then all we ask in return is for you to subscribe and follow this podcast wherever you're hearing this. Reach out to us. All our details are in the show notes below.